Okay, we're starting the Mishnah on Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph. Isha Shalom Baila B'na B'dina Sayyam. A woman whose husband and son went to a faraway country. And they came and they told her, your husband died, and then your child died. Which means, when her husband died, he still had a child. It was his child as well. And she was no Yibum, and she could get married to anybody she wants to. But this isn't, she got married. So she was a Yavama Lashot, meaning she was a Almana, her husband died, then her son died, which means she had no mitzvah of Yibum because at the time of the death of her husband, there was still a child around. And then they changed. Now, the Mishnah is not clear, was it an Eid Echad or was it two Eidim? The Mishnah is not clear. It leaves it for the Gemara to explain. So we will leave it for the Gemara to explain. But whatever it was ascertained that the order was the opposite, which means her son predeceased her husband, which means she was a Yavama Lushuk. And this Mishnah is going like a Bekiva. The Yavama Lushuk is a Lav, which it is, according to everybody. But a Bekiva treats Chayvi Lavan like Chayvi Krisis. And therefore, to him, a Yavama Lushuk getting married is similar to an Aegis Ish getting married. Granted, she was definitely a widow. Nobody is questioning her status of widowhood. But they're saying that she was a Yavama Lushuk, and by her going to get married, she violated the law of Yavama Lushuk, which according to Bekiva is Mamzerus, Chai Velavim, and therefore...
Wait, Rabbi, which case is she Yavama Lushuk? If she died first?
What happened was they had told her originally that her husband predeceased the child. If the husband predeceased the child, then she's free to marry anybody because her husband had a child at the time of his death.
Right.
Then she found out, and again, the Mishnah is not clear who told her and who told her the opposite, that her son predeceased her husband, which means by the time her husband died, there were no children, which means she's a Yavama, who's not allowed to get married to anybody else besides her husband's brother. Meanwhile, she had gotten married to somebody else, which according to Bekiva, had violated the law, according to everybody, she violated the law of Yavama Lushuk. But according to Bekiva, the children of such a marriage are mamzerim, because they're children of Chayvei Lavan, and Rebbe Akiva holds, yes, mamzerim Chayvei Lavan. So Amrullah, so Teitze, she goes out.
A person has a kid, and the kid died, she goes back to Yibum?
Yeah.
She doesn't go back. I don't understand what you're saying. The Maestro, she needed Yibum. She didn't get
one.
The Yibum Rechamitza she needed.
The father,
that means
the husband
needed.
Had a kid. The kid died.
He died before or after his kid? What happens if the husband had a kid who died before the husband?
Right.
So does she need Yibum?
Everybody agrees there's Yibum?
Absolutely. At the time of his death, it was Banim Lahayolai. Didn't have any children.
I was under the impression there was different opinions on that. Okay,
no, there's no machlokes about that. Everybody says you look at the moment of death. You had no children at the moment of death, and therefore, she needs Yibum. Meanwhile, she had married somebody else, which means she was violating the law of Yavama Lashok. According to Bekiva, the offspring is Mamzerim. So the halacha is, Teitze, she has to leave her current husband, Vavlad Rishon V'Achroi Mamzer. And the Gemara will explain what is Rishon and what is Achroi. We don't know who Rishon and Achroi are. We will leave that for the Gemara's explanation, that the Vlad Rishon and Achroi are a Mamzer. Right, sir. That's case number one, Rashi. Let's catch it with Rashi. V'Achach Meis Binchov L'Huska Kilo Yibum. The original statement she was told is that she doesn't require Yibum. The Nisus Lushuk, again, thinking that it was legal, and then found out that she needed Yibum. So Rishon V'Achron, Farish V'Gemara, Mamzer, K'Rebekiva Metukma. This goes like K'Rebekiva, the Amr Yesh Mamzer Mechai V'Lavim, who says the Chai V'Lavim produced Mamzeris. Next case. Next case is Amrula meis bincha v'achach meis v'aylach. Whoever told her the order was the son predeceased the husband. If the son predeceased the husband, that means when the husband died, there were no children, so she's eligible for Yibum. V'nisyabma. And she had Yibum. V'achikach amrula chiluv hoyu adorim. Then they told her it was a mistake. Your son lived longer than your husband, which means she wasn't allowed to do Yibum. That means she married her husband's brother illegally. Again, right. At the time she married him, she thought she was doing a mitzvah of Yibum. But meanwhile, it ended up that there had been a son around at the time of her husband's death. Therefore, she was not allowed to have Yibum at the Isser Eish Esach. So Teitei, Rav Lad Vishavach Ramamzer, and over here, it is not a question of Rav Akiva. Everybody would agree. She's living with a Chayv in Krisus. Her husband's brother is a Chayv in Krisus. It was a mistake. But the bottom line is, she was living with her husband's brother. The offspring are biblical mamzerim. Even not like Rav Akiva, because it's Chayv in Krisus. That's case number two. So one and two are the same case, but in reverse. In the first case, they told her she didn't need Yibum, and she ended up needing Yibum. That's a lav. So therefore, this mission is going like a Akiva that says, Chai v'lavin, produce mamzerim. And the second case was they told her she needs Yibum, and she ended up not needing Yibum and not allowed to have Yibum. So there she violated a Chai v'krisis, according to everybody. And therefore, v'ad rishon v'achram mamzer. Again, we don't know what rishon and achram mean over here. Next case, the third case of the Mishnah. Amrula meis bailach v'nissus. They said to her, your husband died. No children involved. Meaning the children are alive and well. Her husband had 10 children, Baruch Hashem. He died, he left over all the children. There's no shayla of Yibum. Meanwhile, she was told her husband died. She got married. Yachakach amrula kayim hoyu meis. Then they told her, by the way, he was alive at the time you got remarried, but he's dead now. So the second Eidos, whether it's one or two, will be discussed in the Gemara, is saying he is dead now, you are a widow, but at the time you married this second guy, you were not a widow. So the halacha is, Havlad Rishon Mamzer, V'achron Eina Mamzer. We don't know exactly, well, we know what Rishon is. Rishon are the children she had while her husband was really alive. And Achron is the children she has subsequently with this same husband. The Achron ain't a mamzer, meaning she stays married to the second husband, whether she's allowed to or not, is a machlokes rishonim. But whoever, if she does, it's not a biblical mamzer for sure, because at this point she's a widow. Now it's machlokes rishonim, is she allowed to be married to him? Some rishonim say...
The Mishnah says she has to leave him.
Where does the Mishnah say she has to leave him?
Umeis. Teitze.
Umeis. You're right. Teitze, she has to leave him. Right, I'm sorry. You're right. Vavlad Risha Mamzer Achwelena Mamzer. The question is if she stays and violates our Isser, the second one is not a Mamzer biblically for sure. Machloikus Vishainim, whether he's a Mamzer rabbinically or not. That's a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that even though we want her to leave, but we wouldn't make the kid even rabbinic mamzerim, because the bottom line is now he's dead. And other rishonim say, we told her to leave, she doesn't leave, the kids are rabbinic mamzerim. So when it says ain't a mamzer, it means not a biblical mamzer. In the words, it's a little shver, because the Mishnah says ain't a mamzer, but some rishonim learn it means it's not compared to the first one who was a biblical mamzer, because he was alive, right? Let's set up the case. Tuedim told her husband died January 1st. She got married on April 1st. Tuedim, she got married. She lived with him for 2 years. She had children. Then, 2 years later, Tuedim come in and say, by the way, he just died 6 weeks ago. He just died 6 weeks ago. So now, the children she had before he actually died are biblical mamzerim. She was an Ashes Ish who was married and had children. The kids are mamzerim. Now, subsequent kids, after he died, it says she should leave, but the subsequent kids ain't a mamzer. That's a machlokes. Some rishonim say they're not even rabbinic mamzerim, because the bottom line is he was dead at the time. And some rishonim say since we want her to leave, we're going to make the kids rabbinic mamzerim. So either mamzer might mean not at all, or it might mean non-biblical mamzerim. To my colleagues, we shine them. Rashi, Kayim Hoyeg Shinesis, Havlad Rishin Shoyla Badenu Chai, the children she has when he was still alive, are mamzerim. Right. Fourth case in the Mishnah. Amrullah Meis Bailuch Meniskacha. They told her husband died, and she had Kedushin, but she did not consummate that second marriage. With Achakad Bob Island, her husband shows up. Now, the difference between this case and the first Mishnah, in the first Mishnah, she had consummated the marriage with husband number two, who wasn't really husband number two. And this case, she just had Kedushin, never lived with the man. So, Mutaris Lazuloi, she's allowed to go back to her first husband.
We discussed that case. It was only Kedushin.
I lost you. I can't hear you.
Didn't we discuss that case? It was only Kedushin?
Right. We brought this Mishnah, and it said, by only Kedushin, she can go back. And we wanted to know what is the difference. And the Gemara answered, because one case she did an Isser, she lived with the man, and in one case she didn't do an Isser, so we didn't throw the book at her. This is that Mishnah that the Gemara brought earlier on, I believe, Peites Amud Aleph. So the Torah says, well, she can go back. Even if he writes her a get unasked for, she doesn't need a get from him. Even if he gives her one, we disregard the get totally. Meaning in our mind, he wrote her a get, but it means zero. She didn't need a get from him. So if he wrote her a get, it's like writing a get to somebody else's wife. It means nothing. And she can marry a kayan. Even though her person she lived with, I'm sorry, she didn't live with him, the person who made Kedushin with her is not writing her a get, we ignore that get. The get is a meaningless get because it's not his wife, and there's no reason to go through it because there was no Isser done. Chazal don't require a get. And even if he writes her one, it's a meaningless thing. Does a woman divorced from her husband can't marry a kayan? Obviously, if she's divorced from a different man, it's ridiculous. If Reuven writes a get to Shimon's wife is not a grusha because she never was married to Reuven. Now, in truth, this should happen even if the second husband consummated the marriage, but that was the knas the rabbanon to say that she needs a get from the second husband, and we treat her like a grusha. But really, in halal, meaning in this case, there was no issur done, so therefore there's no requirement of a get. Dr. Gemar writer, my Rishon, my Achron. In the case number one, when two Adam, I'm sorry, we don't know how many Adam we are. She was told that her husband died before her child. So that means she did not need Yibum. Then they informed her that that was wrong, that she did need Yibum. So the Mishnah said, Havlan Rishon v'Achroi Mamzer. What is Rishon? What is Achroi? Is it the first one means the kids that were born before she found out the correct order? And Achrei means she stayed married to that man and now had more kids with him. So why would I think it's different? It's the Yavama L'shuk, whether it's before or after she finds out the correct order. Again, two Adam came in and told her your husband died before your son died. That means at the time of the husband's death, she was free to marry somebody. Then we found that, sorry, I said two Adam, I just tried that. She was told her husband died, then her son died. Afterwards, it was ascertained that the order was incorrect. That means she is the Yavama L'shuk. She's the Yavama L'shuk, regardless whether we find that or not. She's the Yavama L'shuk. And the Mishnah says both sets of kids are Mamzerim. Why can't the Mishnah say the kids are Mamzerim? It's the same law. Listen, you have Vlad Mamzer. You don't have to say Rishon and Achron. It's all the same. The same law is being violated, whether we found out the correct order or we didn't find out the correct order. The bottom line is, she's the Yavama married to somebody else, and according to Bekiva, that produces Mamzerim. Dr. Gemara, Mishum de Kaboya, the Mishni Sefer, since in the third case, it'll say, Amrullah Meis Bailach Venissus. Since in case number three, we are going to differentiate between kids born at one point and kids born later. So once in that case, the Mishnah wanted to differentiate Tana Nami Rishon to the first case, also said Rishon V'Ach, Resha, Rishon V'Ach L'mams. So the Gemara is really saying, I'm sorry?
Rabbi, does that make it, it doesn't belong here at all. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
It doesn't belong here at all. There's no...
Why doesn't it belong here?
There's no first and second, like the Gemara says. What's the point?
Because since in the third case, there's a difference between... Well, there's no first and second halachically. There's before we found out the truth and after we found out the truth. It makes no difference. But since in one of the cases, it will make a difference, so the Mishnah keeps on saying before and after, even though there's no difference before and after.
Did it say that in the second case?
Same thing. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second case is the same thing. She's married to her husband's brother. They're biblical mamzerim, before and after. There's no difference. Mm-hmm. And the answer is because in the third case, it made a difference. So the first two cases mention it as well, as if it makes a difference, but it doesn't.
Okay.
That's the Gemara writer. Tana Rabbanan Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva. This is the words of Rabbi Akiva that says, Shoy Aimer Ein Kedushin Taif Simchai V'Lav. He's the one that said that children born from a Yavam Elishuk are Mamzerim. The Mishnah is calling these kids Mamzerim. All they did was... No, there was no Aishas Ish here. Her husband had died. Nobody is, in case one and two, no, in case one, which is what we're talking about, nobody is saying her husband is alive. Her husband was dead. She was an Amana. The only difference is, was she allowed to marry somebody else or not? That's a lav. Yet the Mishnah calls the kid Mamzerim. So Dr. Gemara, the bride said, that's Rekha Bekiva, who says lav and are like Krisus. But the Chachamim say the kids would not be mamzerim. The Yavam Elishuk does not produce mamzerim. Yes, they're not; they're children of a chayvei lavan, but they're not asur to marry anybody. They can marry whoever they want. Meaning they're allowed to marry regular yet. They're not mamzerim. Correct the Gemara. Why does the Gemara say have a Chachamim imamzim Yavama? Why doesn't the Mishnah Gemara? Why doesn't the Brisa say have a Chachamim imamzim chayvei lavan? Started off saying, these are the words of Bekiva who says there is a Mamza Mechayv Elavim. So the Chachamim said, there's no Mamza Mechayv Elavim. Why does the Brisa switch and say, which seems to infer that there is Mamza Mechayv Elavim, but Yavama is an exception. Dr. Gemara, I'll tell you why. Haitana, Hachtana, the Bekiva, he, Dama Mechayv Elavim, the Sher Havi Mamza, Mechayv Elavim, Great Delay Havi Mamza. If you remember back on Daf Mem Test, we had an argument in Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Do all Chayv Elavim make Mamzerim, or only the Chayv Elavim that are relatives? But anybody else does not make Mamzerim, right? The Masho, somebody who marries his Chalutza, or Anusis Aviv, which is a Lavim, but they come from being related. Those Lavim produce Mamzerim, but Yavam Elishuk does not. So there's many opinions. There's Rabbanon who say no Lavim produce Mamzerim. You have the other extreme, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that says, all my lavim produce mamzerim. Then there was a middle opinion. In Rabbi Akiva, there was an opinion that differentiated between certain chayv elavim and other chayv elavim. So when the Brisa here says, chachamim aymim eimam to miyivama, the Brisa is referring to Rabbi Akiva, the other opinion of Rabbi Akiva that differentiates between yivama and chayv elavim of relatives. Therefore, the Brisa just says, eimam to miyivama. It didn't want to say Imam to Mechayv Elavim, because this is not the Rabbanan speaking, this is the other opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So it's saying, according to Rabbi Akiva, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, that all Elavim produce Mamzerim, that's why our Mishnah says the kids are Mamzerim. But according to the other opinion of Rabbi Akiva, only Elavim of relatives produce Mamzerim, this is not Elavim of relatives, therefore this case would not produce Mamzerim. Rashi? The inference is that they hold the Yesh Chayv Elavim Shabbat Mamzimah. But there are Chayv Elavim that the kid is a Mamzer. Tana de Beir Rekiva, he, Yikatana Beper Kachaylus, Ibn de Rekiva, the Amar Yesh Mamzimah Chayv Elavim, the share, the Machmas Kurva, the come about by relatives, that Anusis Aviv Lerab Yehuda, like Anusa, father forced himself on a woman, didn't marry her, not his father's wife, Rabbi Yehuda holds the Kolam Karla Belav. He says it's a lav, the Perek Nisan. The Nisan Chalutzasai, which comes about with his brother's wife, the Karla Belayivna. Those lavin are lavin of relatives. They're Rabbi Kiva with their mamzer. But Mashenke Mechayvi lavin great, they're going to Yivam Elishuk Vidaimala, like Yivam Elishuk. Or Amaini, or Mayavi, these are lavins that have nothing to do with relatives. Their Rabbi Kiva would say no mamzer, so that's why the Braita says Ava mi Yavama, there's no mamzer. Now to Gemara Vayit. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shrav. Okay, so now we're going to see a new thing. We had this mentioned, Dav Memtes Amad Beis, that's a long time ago, it's like 43 blood ago. But we mentioned this opinion. There are people that say that even according to the Chachamim, that Kedushin is Taifas B'chai V'Lavim, Yivama L'Shuk is an exception. The Torah wrote the Lav differently than it wrote most Lavim. Most Lavim, the Torah wrote, don't marry this lady. La Yikach, right? Mayavi Amayni Mayavi B'Kal Hashem. Right, by Amana L'Kayin Gadol. Amana L'Yikach, Gusha L'Yikach. It talks about there's no, you're not allowed to marry them. By Amana L'Kayin Gadol, it uses the word Lysia. Now, Lysia means she should not be, which means she shouldn't marry. But the word Havaya also talks about the validity of Kedushin. Therefore, Rav learns that the Torah is saying that Yivam L'Shuk is a lav, that there's no validity of Kedushin. Even according to the opinions that say normal Chayv and Lavin have validity of Kedushin, even that opinion, but the Yivam L'Shuk would be an exception. Yivam L'Shuk would be an exception. So some want to say that Rav would hold that even according to the Rabbanon, there is a Mamzim Yivam L'Shuk. And some want to say that, according to Rabbanon, there's no Mamzim Yivam L'Shuk, but there's no Kedushin. That's what the Torah is saying. Some learn it's interdependent, Machlokes Rishonim, and some learn it's not interdependent. So I'm a rabbi. Minayin she'ein Kedushin Taifas in Yivama. How do I know that that Kedushin is not Taifas by Yivama? Shenema. Leisiya ha'eshes ha'neish ha'chutz ha'meis l'chutz l'izor. Now, Leisiya is not the regular way of writing a lav. Usually the Torah writes Leisikach. Leisiya, Mashma is telling us, Leisehebo havaya l'zor, that the Kedushin doesn't work. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's just a lav, or is it also telling me no Kedushin. Bani Nisei Nutzvich Haget, because of my poverty, impoverished mind, because I can't make up my mind whether I agree with Rav or not, therefore, I would say, I think she gets a get. Don't ignore the Yivam L'Shuk Kedushin. Make her get a get. Stop Kalei L'Shmuel. Hi, Leisiya Eishes HaMeis. Ila Lav Uda'asa. Is it coming as a Lav? Ida Lo Tafsiva Kedushin Uda'asa. Or is it telling me that Kedushin is not Typhus? Rashi, Bani Yaseinu Mitoich Aniyas Datenu, because of the impoverishment of our mind. We're not sure how to read the pasuk. Like other lavin and kedushin is typhus, or is it more than that? Now it's interesting. I explained this gemara like Tysus, that Rav agrees it's a lav. Rav is just saying it's a lav plus. The lav and kedushin is not typhus. Others learn in Rav that Rav is saying it's not even a lav. The Torah never bans it with a lav. The Torah just says it doesn't work. It's not like other lav and that the Torah says do not do it. Here the Torah is not telling her not to do it. The Torah is saying it won't work. It won't work. You try it, it won't work. But you wouldn't get Malchus because it's not a lav. The Torah never meant a lav. The Torah just meant it doesn't work. It's Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim learned that Rav holds it is a lav. It's a lav. It also has the added feature that the Kedushin doesn't work, and that's how I explained the Gemara. And Shmuel is Mesubik. Is it only a lav, or does it also have that added feature? But some Rishonim learn that no. According to Rav, it's not a lav. The Torah never said don't do it. The Torah just says, this can't work. It doesn't work. But it's not alive. And Shmuel is saying, I don't know. Is the Torah saying alive, or is the Torah saying it doesn't work? So according to Zapshat, nobody would get Malkus for this. Because according to Rav, it's not alive, and according to Shmuel, it's a suffix. You can't give a person suffix love. So it's a Machlaikas Rishayim, how to understand Rav and Shmuel. Are they agreeing it's alive? And the question is it also not effective? Or is it a Shaila, is it alive, or is the Torah just saying it doesn't work? Talk to Gemara right there. Amalei Rav Mori Baruchu Rav Ashi. So Rav Mori Baruchu says to Rav Ashi, Hachi Amra Meimar, Huch Halacha Kavasi Nishmul. We paskin like Shmuel, that means it might work. Shmuel is misupik. We would require a get. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi. Hashtid Amra Meimar, Huch Hasa Kavasi Nishmul. Once Ameimar told us we paskin like Shmuel, which by the way is an anomaly, because usually in a question of Isser, we paskin like Rav. The rule of thumb is, Isser we paskin like Rav, and money we paskin like Shmuel. This is not a monetary case, this is the Isser case. There's an exception. Ameimer is saying we paskin like Shmuel. So Rav Ashi says, once Ameimer told us we paskin like Shmuel, in hoi yivvam akayin, chaylat lo v'shar yulei. So what happens is, let's say Reuven died. Reuven was a kayin, his brother is a kayin. She went and got married. She went and married Yivam Lashuk. She went married Yivam Lashuk, either one aid or two aid him, right? She got married Yivam Lashuk. Then we find out that she didn't know she was Yivam Lashuk. She relied on the testimony given to her, and she went and got married as Yivam Lashuk. Found out now that she wasn't allowed to get married, right? Now the kayan, we make her give a get. According to Shmuel, whoever married her would have to give a get because Yivam Lashuk, according to Shmuel, is a suffix. Maybe the Kedusha worked. If the Kedusha worked, she's married to the second man, he has to divorce her. It's a legitimate biblical divorce. So according to Shmuel, it could be that the guy who married the Yivam Lashuk, remember, this is not an Eishes Ish. She was a widow. She was a widow. She had a lot not to marry another man. She went and married the other man. We're not blaming her. But the bottom line is she had a valid marriage with the other man. According to Shmuel, a possible valid marriage with the other man. Now we find out she's Yivam Lashuk. We tell her second husband, sorry, you live with Yivam Lashuk, you got to get rid of her. You're violating a law. But meanwhile, she can't have Yibum because her husband's brother is a Kayan who can't marry her because she's a Grusha. So she won't be able to go to her husband's brother. He can't do Yibum. He'll have to do Chalitza. Question, can he give her Chalitza while she's married to her second husband and she can stay married to her second husband? She's no longer Yivam Lashuk. Or not. Again, according to Shmuel, we're going to require the second husband to give a get. By requiring the second husband to give a get, we are precluding Yibum. We don't paskel like a Mekiva. We don't treat Yivam Lashuk like an Eishes Ish. We treat her like a woman who violated a law. She's going to need a get. In a regular case, she could go and have Yibum. She gets a get and goes back to her first husband because there's no reason for her not to have Yibum. Right? Hold one second. Hold one second. Mommy, Yaka was calling. Do you want to call? So she could have Yibum. But now her husband's brother is a Kayan. Since her husband's brother is a Kayan, so she can't have Yibum because he's a Kayan. And he can't marry her. She's going to be a Grusha. So therefore, the Eitzah that's given by Rav Ashi is let her get Chalitza from her brother-in-law, the Kayan, and let her stay married to her husband. There's no reason to break up the marriage. It won't be alive anymore. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, we can do it because she lived as a Yivam Lashuk. That's like an Erva. But we don't hold like Rabbi Akiva. So let's read it inside. So, Amar Rav Ashi, Hashtad Amar HaMeim Rehuchas HaKavas HaDeshmul, Ma Yivam HaKayan Chaylitzva V'Shayzilei. The Kayan can give her Chalitza, but she can't marry him. She can't have Yibum. So she might as well have Chalitza. Then she can stay married to her husband. Rashi, She married somebody else based on testimony of one or two Edom that told her your husband died and then your son died. The Amr Shmuel by get. Shmuel says, we don't, the marriage might have been valid. It means she needs a get. She's a legitimate grusha. This is not a rabbinic get. This might be a biblical get. She's a grusha. She can't go back to her husband's brother because he can't marry a grusha, and she's a grusha. So now all he can do is do yibo, chilitza. So let him do chilitza while she's married. The yavim can do chilitza, and she's mutter to her husband. So why should we break up the second marriage? It was a lav. It was a lav. It was not a good idea. And the get, but according to Shmuel, the marriage is valid. By making the marriage valid, she needs a get. By making a get, she can't go back to Yibum, to her husband's brother, the Kayan. So why break up the marriage? Just let him give Chalitza. She's no longer Yavama L'shofta. Let her stay married. Again, in the Mishnah, it says like Rebbe Akiva. According to Rebbe Akiva, the Yavama L'shofta is like an Eishes Ish. We break up the marriage, and the kids are Mamzerim. Over here, we're going like Ravana. They're not Mamzerim. The kids are not Mamzerim. They're fine kids. Let her stay married. There's no reason for us to break up the marriage. Zuck to the
marriage. A Kohen can marry a Chalutza?
What?
A Kohen can marry a Chalutza?
He's not marrying her. Her second husband's not a Kohen.
Oh, I thought you said her husband. Brother. Oh.
I'm sorry. The first husband's brother is a Kohen. Her first husband was a Kohen. Her second husband's a regular Yisrael. He can stay married to a Chalutza.
So what's the problem with Grusha? If he gives her a get, what's the
because
problem there?
What's going to happen is she needs Yibum now or Chalitza from her husband's brother because she had no right to get married. She violated Yivam Elishuk, but she still needs to be released. So if the second
second husband Yisrael should give her a get. That's what it meant. Okay,
right.
I misunderstood. Yisrael
would give the get because he married her legitimately. It was a valid marriage, according to Shmuel, or a possible marriage, valid marriage. So she's a real grusha. So once she's a real grusha, she can't have Yibum from her husband's brother, her first husband's brother.
Even though it's coming from because it's not a real get? I mean, is it a deraisa? Get deraisa?
Why not? Why not?
Because it's only because of chayvei lav that husband's
brother. Again, let's step back. Reuven was her husband. Reuven died. He was a Kayan. She thought she didn't need Yibum. So she went and married, let's call him Maisha, Yisrael. According to Shmuel, that Kedushin might be valid. Rav said it's not a valid Kedushin. She never married Shmuel. But she never married Maisha. But Shmuel says she married Maisha. She's married Maisha. The Kedushin might be valid. So she's a real married woman who's living and being violating a law. She's not doing any krisis. She's not producing mamzerim. She's violating a law. Now she finds out that she can't live with Moshe because she's a Yavama Lashuk. She needs a release from Reuven's brother. Reuven, her first husband, had a brother named Shimon, a Kayan, who has to release her now so she should be able to marry somebody else. Now, we have two options. We can go to Maisha and say, Maisha, you're living with this Yavama L'shuk, divorce her. Now, if Maisha divorces her, you go back to Shimon and say, you have to release her now. He can't do Yibum because she's a legitimate divorcee from Maisha. Maisha's marriage was a legitimate marriage. She wasn't an Eishes Ish. She was the Yavama L'shuk. According to Shmuel, the Kedushin was valid. And since the Kedushin was valid, he needs a legitimate divorce. Now she's going back to Shimon, her first husband's brother, and says, release me. He can only do Chalitza. Can't do Yibum.
So it doesn't matter that the Zika came before the Gerushin?
Why should that make a difference? The Kedushin was typhus to Maisha. It worked. She was married to Maisha. Let me set up a different case. Reuven dies. She went ahead and married a stranger and didn't wait for Chalitza or Yibum. According to Shmuel, that marriage is valid. So when you come and yell at her, you violated a law. You got to get out of this marriage right away. So he divorces her. Can she go mail to her husband's brother if he's a kohen and marry him? No. She's a legitimate divorcee. It was wrong. He had no right to marry her, but she's a legitimate grusha.
Is that only if she did nisuin? What if she did kedushin?
Same thing.
Not a pagan. Yeah.
Same thing. It's a derisive to get grusha, not a knaf. She got married. The marriage worked. It's only a lav, according to Shmuel. Am I explaining myself well enough?
Yeah, I understand.
So we're letting her stay married to her second husband because her first husband's brother is a kohen. Frakti Gemara is Guri Isger, Kemetinu Chayten Isger. Here's a woman that lived in sin. Because she did this sin, she can stay married to the second husband who lived with her in sin. B'shagi. But they lived in sin, and we're letting them stay married because the first husband's brother is a kohen. That means she gained by doing this. Had she not married the second husband, the first husband's brother might have done evil, and she would have been stuck with him. But because she went and did this, she got away with it. And now she can stay married to the man she wants to be married to. Is that fair? That a woman should gain by doing a sin? So the answer is no. We wouldn't let it. We wouldn't let it because we can't let a chayta be nisker. Ella, imayivama yisroel, nice and lashen you get v'hotulai. What we will allow is, if her yivama is yisroel, we let him go back. Now we're saying a different case. Reuven died. She thought she didn't need yibam. She married Moshe. Now she finds out she needs yibam. And her yivama, her shimon is yisroel. So we tell her second husband, Moshe, please divorce your wife. So your husband's brother, her first husband's brother, can now do Yibum. There's no reason he can't do Yibum. So we make Moshe divorce her, and we go back to Shimon and say, now you have a choice. You want to do Yibum to your brother's wife or not? Because the Zika was there, and the fact that she lived with another man, so she's a Grusha. Doesn't bother us. He's a Yisrael. He can marry a Grusha. He can still do the mitzvah of Yibum. The interesting point, here is a woman that got married, but the mitzvah of Yibum is still there. So we can do the mitzvah of Yibum. Moshe divorces her, and we go back to Shimon, who's Reuven's brother, and say, Shimon, you have a choice. You want to marry her? You can marry her. Rashi, we did that already. Period. So that's the halacha. So the halacha is, if her husband's a kayan, we would make Moshe divorce her and make the brother give chalitza, but we wouldn't let her stay married to the second husband. We don't want him gaining of the fact that a sin was done. But if the first husband is Yisroel, we make the second husband divorce her, and we allow Yibum, it's a big chiddush, we're letting Yibum take place, even though there was a marriage in between. That's what happened. She got married to somebody, but now she's still a Yivam Lushuk. So she has to go back for Yibum, either Yibum or Chalitza. There's no reason he can't do Yibum. Dr. Gmarvait. Did I explain myself well enough? It's very quiet on the other end. Hello?
Yes, Rabbi. We're with you. We're with you.
Okay. Dr. Gmarvait, Amar of Gidlam, Rav Chiyah, by Yosef, Amar Rav. Yivam Kedushin Eva, which simply says that Kedushin doesn't work. But Nisuan Yeshba, but Nisuan works, which doesn't make any sense. If we're passing like Rav, in fact, it's Rav speaking, right? Amar Rav Chiyah by Yosef, Amar Rav. If Kedushin doesn't work, how can Nisuan work? If Kedushin Eimba, Nisuan Nami Eimba. If Kedushin doesn't work, how does she ever get married? The Kedushin didn't work. Of course the Nisuan doesn't work. Enva the Gemara Eima Kedushin with Nisuan Eimba. Enochinami, we say the Kedushin and Nisuan doesn't work. Rashi, because Nisuan Yeshbuk, Salgadai the Klinian get. The Mnissus Lazar, Shamal Amez Bailach, Nakach Menchot, Yicha get. We're saying she needs a get. The question is, if the Kedushin didn't work, why does she need a get? According to Rav, the Kedushin never was valid. If the Kedushin never is valid, the Nisuan is never valid. So how could that be? You're right. Rav said, Kedushin and Nisuan Eimba. That is one shot. If you want, I can tell you. Rav is saying halacha, not like the Gemara before. Rav is saying that a Yavama that went and married somebody else or lived with somebody else as a Yavama Lushuk can no longer receive Yibum from her Yavama. We don't allow Yibum if somebody lived with her in between the husband's death and the time of Yibum. Yavama Shazinta, Asura Yavama. This is Rav Nuna's halacha. Rav is saying that halacha. Now this is a lady, her husband died, she needed Yibum. She went ahead and was Mizana or married. Either she thought it was a mistake or it was legitimate. The marriage doesn't work. For all practical purposes, it is Znus. And Znus, by Yavama Lushuk, according to Rav Nuna, bans her from Yibum, which is opposite of the Gemara before, where we let her go back to the Yavama. We're saying, according to Rav Nuna, she cannot go back to the Yavama. Rashi, Biznus, Dahavi Kiznus, Umitzra Yavam, to Rav Nuna. She comes also to the Yavam, like Rav Nuna. Rav Ashi, the Amar La, Naisin Lashaini Get, Vahotralai. Rav Ashi, who said she could go back to the Yavam, even if she married, less later Rav Nuna. Doesn't hold Rav Nuna. Rav Nuna is saying a big halacha. See, we have to view Yavama Lashuk as a very interesting combination. She's alive. According to Rav, Kedusha is not typhus. Why not? What's the logic behind it? I mean, it's Xeris HaKasa, but what's the Svara behind it? It's a regular love. We're going not like a Bekiva. We're saying Kedusha is typhus, Mechai V'Lavan. So why are we treating Yavama Lashuk any different than any other love? The answer is because Yavama Lashuk is an extension of her husband's marriage. Yibum is like an extension. So even though it's only a lav, but there's some marital ties here that are different than a regular lav. She's bound to a husband. He's deceased. So she's bound to his brother through her husband. It's a different kind of relationship. Therefore, Rav says, the tyrant says, you can't even get married. It doesn't work. It's like an Aches Ish, even though it's only a lav. And Rav Nuna is saying, if she's Mizana, we view her like an Aches Ish that was Mizana. We don't let an Aches Ish that's Mizana go back to her husband, so we don't let a Yavama that's Mizana continue on with her Yavam. So leave Chalitza, but she won't be able to get Yibam. So this is a very interesting combination. It's a lav, but we're treating this lav with, word I'm looking for is like, it's like as if there's some violation of marriage bonds that exist post the husband's death through the mitzvah of Yibum. Therefore, Rav Nuna says, she's Mizana, she no longer can have Yibum. Rav Ashi said the opposite, she can get married and divorced and still have Yibum. So Rav Ashi doesn't hold the Rav Nuna. You're right. Really valid. There's no validity to the Kedushin according to Rav. There's no validity to the Nisuan. But if people see her leaving her second husband without a divorce, once they consummated the marriage, people are going to say, why is this different than an Aches Ish, whose husband went away and came back? We need a divorce from the second guy. Why don't we hear that we need a divorce from the second guy? So rabbinically, we need a divorce. Biblically, she's not married. The Kedushin didn't work. The Nisuan didn't work. But once they're living together as husband and wife, we go through the motions of a divorce. So we can keep intact our takana that sometimes husbands who are not husbands have to write again. Rashi, Kedamra Miyikara, Nisuan Yesh Balin Yaget. Well, I'm Mishim the Kedushin, you know. Not because this is a Kedushin. I'm Mishim the Imaf Kinala Balay Get. If we're going to take her out without a get. Asi Lameh Menami Bisha Shalom Baglam Bina Sayyab, and this is a Bein Echad. That's in Bein Echad, they'll say that a woman that got married when her husband left town and she got married with Bein Echad takes a Balay Get. And the Mishnah said she needs a get. Avon is kacha, if she just went through Kedushin by Baigita, the Aishas Kupa should is kacha, be bad and Bein Echad takes a Balay Get. Even a married woman who just received Kedushin when an Bein Echad told her she could, and her husband comes back, doesn't need a get. Is it not? Avon is Shanas Machin Get by Paslam and Akuna. Like we learned in our Mishnah, that the second one's get doesn't mean anything if it was just Kedushin. So the third teretz is saying, Rav holds there's no legitimacy to this marriage at all. But once they're living together like husband and wife, we require that get to make it, people should understand, because since we do that by a married lady, we do it by Yavama Lashuk as well. So we have three pshatim in this statement of Rav, Kedushin Einba Nesu'an Yeshba. Either we change it to Kedushin Nesu'an Einba, or we say that it means that it's we treat it like Znus. Right, we treat it like Znus. And if we treat it like Znus, she can't stay. She can't stay married to she can't have Yibum. The third answer is, really, there's no validity. But if she lives with the second husband, we require a get as if she was married, and we go through the motions of a rabbinic get, so people should understand that sometimes non-marriages need a get as well. Like when a woman, her husband left town and comes back, and she's married to a second man, we make the second man give a get. That's the Gemara writer. I'm a Rabbi Anai. The Chabura Nimnu V'Gamru Ein Kedushin Taifsin B'Yavama. We voted in a group, like Rav, the Kedushin is not Taifsin Yavama. It means we passed him like Rav. The Lesia means it's not effective. It doesn't work. Rashi Nimnu V'Gamru Yedushina Lesia Lesehei Ba'Avaya Kedushin doesn't work. We will stop here. I mentioned him tomorrow morning. I will be back live in person, and we'll continue mentioning him tomorrow morning. Everybody should have a wonderful day.
Have a safe trip, Rebbe.
Thank you.